The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening. My name is Andrea Fella, and welcome to our class on daily life practice. This is our third evening in this five-week series. And so we've been practicing now for a couple of weeks with some of these daily life practices, and a lot of the action for this class goes on at your house or your work. And I'm just curious what you've been noticing in some of the exercises that I've given you. I think last week we talked about working with speech, and I did that exercise in pairs around that mindfulness out loud, that kind of continual recognition of what's happening now, what's happening now, what's happening now. And I suggested that you see if you could work with that in your chore, that we've been working with particular activities in our day to help support our waking up. And if any of you had tried any of those exercises or anything else you might like to share about any of the exercises we've been working on.
So I tried both exercises, and I tried the mindfulness of speech throughout the week, but found that it was very difficult for me to remember to practice that.
Yes. It is very difficult. Were you trying to just do the pause piece?
Yes.
Yeah, and you forgot to do the pause piece.
Consistently.
Yeah. I wear something like this. Yeah, I wear something like this to help me remember. So, you know, you can put some kind of reminder on, because it is difficult. It is difficult to even remember. But again, part of the practice around it is, you know, so or part of the way to help you remember is not when you recognize after you've talked to somebody, you know, you go back to your office and you sit down and it's like, oh, I forgot. At that moment, again, that moment of remembering is a moment of mindfulness. So just take that in what's happening right then and there, and then resolve again. Okay, I'm going to try again. It's that resolving over and over and over again that'll begin to make inroads into that forgetting. Just keep trying. We're so inclined to just give up when after a week that I haven't been able to do it, but maybe twice or something. We're just inclined to think, well, this isn't possible. But if you just keep making that resolve, not as a kind of a forcing kind of thing, but just like, I'm just going to keep trying. Just keep trying. I'm going to try to remember. That will slowly, slowly make inroads into it.
The thing that I found easier to remember to do was to do this mindfulness out loud. And the experience that I had there was that in any given few seconds that I was noticing dozens, if not hundreds, of things at the same time.
Uh-huh.
That I couldn't begin to, you know, actually speak all the things that my brain was noticing in the world.
Exactly. And that's part of the point of the exercise, too, because it puts you into a space because you are consciously engaging in remembering like that. It puts you in a space where your mind is just paying attention, and it sees many things. So it's not so much that you need to name everything that you see, but just engaging yourself in that practice, you will see many things. And that's the point of it. Not that you can actually name the 100 things that you notice in a couple seconds, because it's not possible. But to actually begin to see how rapidly the mind processes information and how much can actually be noticed. You know, it's kind of mind-blowing when we start to see it. So that's great. What was your feeling around that? Was it a frustration that you couldn't name everything, or was it just like a wow, that's amazing kind of
thing? It was the latter.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
It is amazing. I think the first week I mentioned that the more I engage in this practice, the more I'm able to just be mindful of what's going on, the more I see that what I thought were things happening in kind of an unconscious place in the mind. It's like the mind can see so much more and actually be aware of so much more than we realize it can be aware of. And it's just a simple mindfulness that opens that doorway. So thank you. Did you have something? No? No? Okay. Anyone else have any comments or questions? Mary, behind you.
Just because no one else is saying anything, and I was wanting to share this with people. This is an example of not being mindful. So this afternoon I was driving on 25th Avenue in San Mateo. I decided I wanted to make a U-turn. It's a business area. To get to this recycled secondhand tape music store, I just made the U-turn right over the double line, not noticing, as the policeman kindly pointed out, there's all these signs that say, no U-turn, on the ground, up here. And I noticed there was a policeman, two cars. Yes, the first car, no, the next one. And when I parked, I was kind of like hoping he might just drive by, but what a surprise, he pulled right behind me. And when I got out of the car, you know, kind of bounced out quick, like he was getting out of his car, and he just said, "What were you thinking?"
It doesn't have to be something that seems amazing. I mean, even just something little or small, it's a really valuable thing to share. You'll find, and people will appreciate the fact that you have shared. So it's actually a gift. Think of it as offering a gift if you're willing to share something. Okay, so I just want to say, in terms of sharing, it's valuable not only for others but for yourself. And thinking about your practice this week, if you're engaging in these exercises this week, see if you can find something that you might be able to come back and share with the group as you engage during the week. Because a lot of the benefit of this kind of practice is hearing how other people are engaging in their daily life practice. There's a lot of commonality. There's more commonality than you can imagine in terms of what happens to people. And there can be a sense of almost community or a sense of, oh, we're doing this together. You know, we're actually engaging in this together. So I'll just put that out there. I realize it's uncomfortable to share in a group this size, but it gets easier if you do it more. Yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh. And wait for the mic.
I was also having a very difficult time remembering. I was trying to focus on pausing. And but this is a very curious thing. I work with someone who, I've never worked with anyone like her before in my life. She just seems to need to talk nonstop. And it's just phenomenal to me. So it's, what was interesting was that, so I'm trying to think about pausing and I'm forgetting about it most of the time. But every time she'd start to talk to me, I would think about it. So she became my cue for thinking about pausing, but I was so distracted by engaging myself with her, the volume and the speed with which she speaks that it was overwhelming to me, and I was resenting her so much, and I wanted to, she was getting in the way of my thinking about myself. Uh-huh. It was complicated, and it was very frustrating for me because I kept thinking if only, rather than thinking about her, I need to think about myself and my own ability or inability to pause. So I had this sort of dilemma about thinking.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was noticing and not noticing what was beneficial to me.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't figure out a way to not notice. It was very silly in a way.
But that's great. I mean, you noticed a lot, actually. And, you know, that's one thing around this daily life practice. I give you these tools, and a lot of what you notice is where it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you noticed a bunch of times in that conversation, I should try to remember to pause. And that's a kind of a bit of mindfulness coming in. So can you appreciate that you remembered those times, even though you forgot by the time she finished saying something? So that's one piece. And another, especially when somebody is talking a lot like that, engage in listening practice. Mm-hmm. You know, and not just to the content, but, and it sounds like you did a little bit, because you noticed the frustration, you noticed the sense of some irritation, it sounds like, at the volume, the speed, and all of that. So the way she was speaking had an impact on you. And that, we can be mindful of that and notice any reactivity. You know, oh, that's kind of tightening or tension that happens while listening. So there's a lot we can play with in a situation like that. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like there was fruitful exploration going on.
Somewhat.
Just keep trying.
I will.
That's the biggest encouragement I want to give all of you. Just keep trying. Because, you know, this daily life practice is not easy. As I said the first week, when we're sitting in meditation, we have all these things that support us, you know. We've got the stillness and our eyes are closed. And so if our mind wanders off into a conversation with a friend, when we wake up into that, it's kind of obvious that we're not having a conversation with our friend. We're actually sitting here trying to meditate. So there's some supports in our sitting meditation. And in daily life, those supports go away. So, but the little trying to pause, that's a little bit of a support. And, the only kind of shift I would suggest around that is in that remembering to pause, you know, in that kind of recognition, oh, I should try to remember to pause. In that moment, kind of take in, and what's happening now? You know, just in the moment, and what's happening now? Another good question is, and what's true now? And you know, you're listening to this person, and what else is true now? Are you at ease? Are you agitated?
Do you mean what's true about myself?
What's true in terms of actual experience, not in terms of I am such and such a kind of person, or what's true in terms of your experience in the moment? What's true in terms of your experience in the moment? Perhaps is a little irritation at this person speaking so quickly, or maybe a sense of tension in the body. What's true is the seeing of the person, the hearing is going on. There's a lot going on. So you can connect not only with the person and what they're saying, but also something, how you're responding to it. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I'll give another chance. Okay. Thank you. Yes. In the corner, pink.
My experience is similar to this lady's. I find when I'm being mindful, I'm not being mindful. This is particularly when I'm driving and I'm watching mindful of my thoughts. I'm not mindful of my driving.
Ah, okay. So, in this case, it's again looking at what's skillful and what's unskillful. It's probably more skillful when driving to pay attention to the driving to the thoughts. So, you know, if you're noticing that you're being mindful of your thinking while you're driving, can you shift? Is it possible to shift your attention? So looking at where it's skillful to bring the mindfulness, there's so many different things that we can be mindful of, particularly in daily life. There's all of this stuff going on. And, you know, what is most skillful to be paying attention to? in a particular moment. Anyone else have anything? Yes.
I found that the pausing really helped me with my immediate family members. Like I have an elderly mom who I feel like I'm always trying to rush her, or and she doesn't have that many people to talk to. And so just the pausing and not interrupting, I was the one who was needing to be reminded to pause. And I think it really helped me with my relationship with my mother this week.
Oh, that's a beautiful. Just the pausing. That's beautiful. Yeah. And did it change how you spoke with her?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was much more relaxed.
And were you more relaxed?
I felt much more relaxed.
Yeah.
And I wasn't trying to finish her sentences. Yeah, I think I had a problem with that where I needed to be reminded to pause.
So, you know, that's one thing that I'm going to point to today, but I'll just highlight it here since you mention it. So in this exercise, you notice that you were more calm and relaxed. And to take that in, to kind of connect with that as part of the awareness, not just that you remembered to pause, but the impact of the exercise on you was that it made you more relaxed. How is that for you? And to recognize as we're engaging in these practices where these beneficial things are happening. You know, that as we engage, there's a lot of really beautiful qualities of mind that kind of get pulled along with the mindfulness. And to not just kind of let them be in the background, but really appreciate them. Connect with the fact, oh, there's more relaxation here. This is nice. That supports the further encouragement of the mindfulness. It's like it's a positive feedback because it does feel better to do that.
Very positive.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else?
What you just said, it reminded me, I'm a big fan of the anchoring exercise that you talked about a couple weeks ago, because it's very easy during the day, just while you're working, to get caught up. And I feel like every time I remember my anchor, it's kind of like a mini vacation. And so it is very reinforcing. That and it's empowering too, because like you have control over like taking that vacation whenever you want in the middle of the day.
That's great. What's your anchoring exercise?
Well, actually, I picked a couple. Something that keeps happening, but I work on the computer a lot, so every time I go back to just the desktop. And then when I'm in the kitchen, it's always every time I'm reaching for something. And then now when I wash dishes in the middle of the day, I actually find that, like, I'll take that as a break and I'll get something done. But at the same time, I feel like it's taking a mini Calgon bath in the middle of the day. So,
that's great.
Yeah, so I love the anchoring.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful. And I would encourage you to keep up with that exercise that I suggested the very first week of picking something that happens regularly through your day to help anchor you and help you recognize whether you're paying attention or not, to keep that up through the course of this class. And it will get easier and easier. And also, like you say, it gives you a little mini vacation. I had something like that for myself. One of the things I picked as a little mini anchor at one point was, going to the bathroom. So anytime I went to the bathroom, I got to the point where I would recognize, okay, I need to go to the bathroom when I was sitting at my desk. And then I would start the process of paying attention right then and there. And then, you know what? It takes 3-4 minutes to go walk to the bathroom, do your thing, wash your hands, come back, sit down. And I too felt like I'd had a little mini vacation in that time. You know, 4, 5, 6 times a day, that little 4 or 5 minute break. What we typically do in a time like that is to think about whatever, you know, we're doing at work, and it just keeps us kind of tight and intense and engaged in our thoughts. And we don't actually need to be thinking about things all day long. And it supports us actually to let go for 4 or 5 minutes at a time. I found after that little mini vacation, I could come back to my work and be refreshed and ready to engage again. So thank you for bringing up the little mini vacation thing. It's, and it is supportive because it does feel good to have that break. And again, that appreciating that quality of relaxation, rest, appreciation of what you've experienced supports your ability to remember it more frequently. So thank you. Anyone else have anything? Yeah.
So I chose to be mindful of speaking in the moments that I wait to pick up my children from school. So instead of bringing a book or checking my cell phone or whatever, I tried to just sit still for a little bit and refocus so that when they got into the car, I'd be a little more prepared to speak well. And it actually turned out that I spoke a lot less. So instead of having a lot of things to tell them, or we have this appointment or that appointment, I just shut up a lot more. And I think the effect was that it was just smoother, and I was less reactive to whatever mood or crisis or whatever they brought into the car, and any conflicts that came up in the afternoon. It just kind of settled the whole afternoon and evening down, which was really helpful.
That's great to really see the impact. I mean, essentially you're seeing not only impact on yourself, and like you notice the impact on your mother, you notice the impact on your kids. That just you were in a different space, and they could feel that. So that's beautiful to recognize that, and you can appreciate that too. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. So for this week, what I'd like to encourage is working with patterns and habits. So it's kind of the theme for this week is looking at some kind of habitual behavior or habitual mental experience. We all have these kind of habitual patterns. They're different for each of us, but we all kind of get stuck in these ruts, these grooves. We tend to respond to things in similar ways. Some of us tend to be frustration types or anger types or fear types. Some of us tend to be wanting to fix things type, just whatever. There's some kind of pattern that, several kinds of patterns probably that you each engage in. And these patterns, you know, it sometimes feels like we're on autopilot in our lives, and we are just engaging in the world sort of out of our habits as opposed to really being conscious of what's going on for us. And the way we engage are these habits and patterns that we have been living with for all of our lives. A lot of these habits and patterns are where our suffering arises from, where our stress arises from, where our anxiety arises from. So it's a really interesting place to try to explore with our mindfulness. And for myself, I found some of the greatest fruits of my meditation practice in daily life were around, and are still around, exploring these habits and patterns in daily life. When we're sitting in meditation, we may run into these habits and patterns in certain ways. I mean, the meditation can serve as kind of a microcosm of our experience in the world. If we sit down and try to pay attention to the breathing and we find that we can't do that very well, then we may engage in trying to do that in our habitual ways, you know, either getting angry or frustrated at ourselves for not being able to do it, or trying really hard to fix it. So there'll be kind of in our sitting practice, there'll be little macrocosm of the ways that we engage habitually. But in our daily life, we meet this full on. We meet these habits and patterns full on. The frustrations, the way we rub up against people, all of those things are the place where we can really begin to engage in our daily lives. So I'd like to suggest for this week that you pick some kind of habitual pattern that you are really interested in exploring for yourself. This interest is really helpful. You know, so something that you are interested in understanding about yourself, not necessarily to try to fix it, but just to understand what happens as I am engaging in this pattern. Now, patterns and habits, you know, they can be habits we tend to think of as something that we have engaged in through our lives, you know, that we have a habitual pattern of responding with anger or frustration, or that we have a habit of procrastination that developed when we were a teenager, that we have these habits that kind of carry through longer times in our lives. And then there are patterns that seem to come up in our, you know, more contemporary experience. Like, for instance, you may find that there's somebody right now in your life that every time you see them, there's a little bit of rub there. And that, you know, you'd like to understand that experience. So that we wouldn't necessarily consider a habit. But the habits and patterns that I'm talking about encompass both of those. So something that you find going on for yourself right now in your life that you are interested in exploring, interested in understanding. For me, this practice has a lot of juice to it. The practice around it is very similar to the one that we use for our anchor. Particularly if the pattern, you might want to pick a pattern that you're interested in exploring that actually happens, you know, at least two or three times a day perhaps, or, you know, something that you're not going to go all week without running into. So picking something where it's happening relatively frequently. And the practice around it is very much the way we engage with that anchor or that first week I suggested picking something that happens regularly through your day and resolving to wake up for it. So very similar kind of thing. Picking this pattern and resolving to pay attention to it. And I think the first week I talked a little bit about one of these for myself. But I'll just restate it so that you get a sense. I'll repeat myself this week so that you get a sense of what I'm talking about. So for myself, one of the patterns I had in my life was around anger. And in fact, that's the reason I got into my daily life practice in the first place. There was a particular person I was angry with that the anger just kept coming up over and over and over again, and it was making me kind of non-functional. So as one of my early projects, I picked that anger that I resolved I would wake up, I would pay attention when I noticed that anger. So that was what I did. And actually with that pattern, with that habit, I found it relatively easy to remember in a sense, because the anger had a kind of a feedback loop that when I was in that state of anger, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And it just escalated until I was in a rage. And at some point in that process, I would remember that I had said I was going to wake up for this. At some point in that process of that anger developing, I remembered. So at that point, it's like, okay, here I am. What's happening? Pay attention to this. And at that point, you could use, in that moment of remembering with this habit or pattern, you could use that, now I'm aware of, now I am aware of, now I am aware of, as a way to help you connect with what's going on here and now in the moment. So just a few, you know, thoughts or ideas about patterns. Just a few suggestions. You might have a pattern of checking or rechecking something that you've done before you leave the house, or you might have a tendency to think about what you're going to say, kind of repeating in your mind something that you're going to say before you meet somebody, or you might have a tendency to intensify experience, or a pattern, a certain particular pattern of thought, like planning or fantasizing, or you might have any mind state that occurs frequently for you, like anger, frustration, impatience, irritation, annoyance, something that just happens a lot for you. But a key to this exploration, one of the keys to this, is interest. If you are interested in exploring this pattern, it really helps. So not, again, not necessarily to try to get rid of it, but to try with the intention of understanding it. Often with these patterns and habits, they've developed out of sometimes they've developed out of some deep underlying history. You know, that there could be some historical, skillful reason why we react or respond in this habitual way. So we might already know that. You know, we might already have a sense of why we react this way. Well, I react this way because of what happened to me as a child or something like that. But in this exploration, you might see more clearly some of the triggers that make this pattern come into being. And you might see some skillful reasons why you're engaging in this pattern and some unskillful reasons why you're engaging in this pattern. So to just explore, again, this what is happening, what is actually happening, and if you use this kind of practice of the now I am aware of, while you check in with this pattern, you're likely to see quite a bit. You're likely to see perhaps some thoughts that are going through, a feeling, a mood, emotion, body tension. There's a lot of things that that you can explore. So it's really helpful around this to keep the investigation kind of light. This is not around trying to figure out the pattern, but more just what can you contact, what is happening right now? Just the what is going on right here and right now. This is basically a form of investigation that I'm talking about. And there's an analogy for investigation, a couple of analogies. One that one of my teachers from Burma gave and one that I came up with. The one that my teacher from Burma gave is that when we're investigating or exploring our experience, it's like we're rubbing or polishing a bowl. It's the contact, a gentle kind of contact of our awareness against the experience. We're not trying to chip the experience apart and figure it out. We're just trying to meet it with that soft, gentle attention. Just what's obvious on the surface, meeting experience. Just meeting it with this softness. Another analogy that in terms of the kind of amount of intensity of effort to apply is you have a helium balloon in front of you. And somebody's handing you a helium balloon, and your job is to hold on to this helium balloon and not let it go. But there's a catch. Your hands are covered with thumbtacks. So grasping onto this helium balloon, you have to keep a kind of constant light pressure so that it doesn't float away and it doesn't pop. That's the kind of contact or pressure. It's not a heavy kind of pressure. It's a really light touch, but it's got to be kind of continuous. It's got to be just a light, gentle touch, observing what is happening right now. And that mindfulness out loud can support that gentle touch of just, okay, what? Now I'm aware of pressure. Now I'm aware of heat. Now I'm aware of tension. Now I'm aware of thinking. Now I'm aware of frustration. Now I'm aware of hearing. Just continual like that as you recognize the pattern. So the main practice around the pattern is just to notice them and to have this light kind of attention, a light investigation, just noticing what's most obvious in your experience as you notice that pattern appearing. It can sometimes, and I found, for instance, in my exploration of anger, as my exploration of anger unfolded over a couple of years, this person that I was angry with, it was a slow process around the way that anger unfolded. I don't remember if I talked about this particular part on the first night. But what I found in paying attention to the anger or recognizing that habit was that at some point it became very clear to me that the anger or the momentum to anger was stronger than my ability to bring mindfulness to it. And this can happen with patterns, that the patterns are so strong that when we try to pay attention to them, it's like our mind just gets sucked in to the pattern. So what I realized that was most helpful in that kind of a situation was to acknowledge the pattern. So when I noticed the anger coming up, I acknowledged it. I recognized it. And then I turned my attention elsewhere. Now this is tricky. It's a little bit tricky to do this. That if you are turning your attention elsewhere, there can be a tendency to be pushing aside or repressing the pattern. You know, this isn't good and I can't pay attention to it, so I have to kind of shove it down. And that isn't so helpful. So the way I worked with this was to, it's like I almost bowed to that pattern. It's like I met the pattern and said, I see you, anger. And I also see that this is not a good time to try to pay attention to you. So I'm going to turn and pay attention to something else. So that I was clearly acknowledging, clearly recognizing the pattern, and then simply letting it be, not trying to stop it, not trying to push it away, but simply focusing my attention to something else that was happening in my experience. Something neutral seemed to be helpful for me. So my feet on the ground. I also made a little bargain with my anger that I said, well, I'll pay attention to you when my mindfulness is stronger. So that there was a sense. It was almost like I personified the anger in a way and spoke to it and acknowledged it and gave it a sense of, you know, respect. I see you. I see you need attention. I see you need some, you're asking for something, but this isn't the time. So I'm going to put my attention elsewhere. So I did that for a long time, that I noticed the anger. When I noticed the anger coming up, I would recognize it. And that whole thing that I just said to you, I ended up collapsing into a two-word phrase, not now. So that was a way to acknowledge it, meet it, put it aside, and turn to something else. So not now, not now. And putting my attention in my feet. I did that over and over and over and over again. And actually what I ended up noticing over time was that the bouts of anger, I noticed that they were getting a little further apart, that they weren't coming so frequently. And then one day I noticed that it had been a very long time since I'd experienced that anger. This was a couple of years into this process. But one day I noticed that I hadn't experienced it in a very long time. And I thought, wow, what happened to it? And I kind of checked, you know, it's like, is it in here? And even though in that moment I remembered the person I was angry with, and even though I had a thought of him in my mind, I could not conjure up the anger. I could not even conjure it up. And I didn't trust for a very long time that it was actually gone. But it was gone. It's never come back. And in fact, what's happened is that over time, that when he appears in my mind now, it's a sense of,
usually a sense of wishing him well. I hope he's happy. So there's not this sense of a thought of him arises and immediately, you know, there's the anger, which it was for a very long time. And the funny, interesting thing, I think it was a little bit funny in some ways, that I never had to meet that anger with my mindfulness. Now, I had made it that bargain with it. I said, I'll meet you when my mindfulness gets stronger. It disappeared in that simple recognize, not now, and move on. Even just the simple recognition of a pattern like that, I just pretty much said, yep, I see you anger, and I'm going to put my attention to something else. For a couple of years, I did that. And I didn't actually ever have to do much other than that. So it's a simple recognition of a pattern, even that simple recognition, can really make strong inroads into how that pattern unfolds in our life. So the simple recognition, if that's all you can do around your pattern, even if you can't really do much investigation or exploring what's happening around it, just recognize it. Yep, there's impatience. There's irritation. There's frustration. Just recognizing it is very, very powerful. Now that art of turning away from it is something that needs some practice. That art of saying, not now, is a skill that we learn to cultivate. Are there any questions about this at this point before I go on to something more?
I'm just sitting here trying to think of doing this, and it seems to me that the minute I would say, now I'm aware of, or whatever, start the exercise, that I would be totally out of the pattern. And so I'm sort of wondering, you know, some of these patterns, I imagine, are negative and it might be a good thing to get out of them. But some of them, as you said earlier, you might just want to notice and actually notice. And
right.
How do you do that with and stay in the pattern and then?
The kind of pattern it is a pattern that disappears when it's noticed, just notice that that happens. Mm-hmm. I had that around a particular pattern at one point, and I was like, well, how do I investigate this? And that's all you need to do is just notice that it disappears upon the noticing. Now, if it's something that you want to stay engaged in, then just keep doing that thing. You know, you don't have to stop doing it. You know, like if it's, can't think of anything off the top of my head, but, maybe like cleaning your house. You know, if you find that when you walk in the house, you kind of automatically start picking things up, and that's a pattern that you want to look at. You don't have to stop doing it when you notice it. Just notice, okay, oh, I'm picking things up. What's happening? You know, what's going on? Is it a feeling of accomplishment? Is it a feeling of, you know, of aversion, that I have to get rid of things? You know, so just noticing. So you don't have to stop if it's something that you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. The one thing I was thinking of was I sometimes tend to procrastinate when, in the evening when going to bed, it's a question of which I go to bed or my wife goes to bed first, or how do we negotiate this? And we always have this little game of who goes to bed last kind of thing, you know. And so but if I started to investigate the procrastination, then I would be doing the exercise. I wouldn't be procrastinating anymore. So it's,
well, you know, that might not be a bad thing.
Uh-huh.
No. That's actually something I found when I've investigated procrastination. It's like, I don't need to procrastinate at this moment. I can just make this decision and do it. You know, what's the point of the procrastination? It's like, some people though are so caught in procrastination that it's like, there's so much resistance that it does keep going for a while. So if you notice in that, oh, there's procrastination, well, why don't I just go first? You know, if that's what happens, just notice that's what's happening. Any other questions? Yeah, Diana.
I was hoping that you could say a little bit more about investigation. When I think about investigating an experience, I tend to think like, okay, well, how does it feel in my body? And I don't know, is that a little bit stronger than just polishing the side of the bowl, or how to do that?
It can be. That's a very good place to begin to explore, is in the body. But it, in daily life, sometimes we don't have the, essentially we don't have the bandwidth to kind of stop what we're doing to come in to experience. And so part of the investigation in daily life, it kind of has to have almost a lighter touch than that. So, you know, what we've been doing around the anchors and the chores is pretty much to just notice what's already going on, to just at the obvious level, just what's already going on. And that then ends up feeling like a pretty light kind of practice. Sometimes with our daily life practice, we get really frustrated in trying to apply the same kind of mindfulness we apply in our meditation. Because it's like, I don't have time to sit here and stop and think about how's this happening in my body. And we don't need to go that deep in our daily life practice. It can be much more at the surface. So just, what's obvious? What's obvious happening right now? And that we can begin to cultivate at the level of what we can notice in our daily life. So that there can begin to be this, just awareness of what's already happening, and not have to try to stop and investigate into, okay, well, how does the body feel right now? And am I, you know, tightening these muscles, or is stomach tense? So that there has to be a kind of a conscious exploration, just in this moment, what's most obvious right now? In this moment, everybody, in this moment, what's most obvious to you?
Okay, so it's more just being present for what's really happening.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And it begins to be pretty light. You know, it doesn't have to feel like it's heavy or extra in our day. We can be mindful at some level throughout the day, but we do need to engage with the content of what we're doing. Like if you're sitting at your desk typing a letter or an email, you need to be engaging with the content. But if you're noticing a pattern of impatience, for instance, you might, while you're typing your email, notice impatience appear. Can you keep typing the email and just kind of recognize, okay, that was impatience, and is there a sense of, you know, what's obvious about that, but staying engaged with the content? It's kind of a little bit of a split almost in the mind. Can the mind take in both the content and what's going on? And it is possible, but it's a different kind of mindfulness than we engage in our sitting practice. So it takes a little bit of exploration and practice to kind of get familiar with what that's like.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Okay, I notice there's only about 8 minutes, so I do want to say something more about this. So this is just exploring the pattern is the basic practice that I'd like you to check into this week. But as I mentioned earlier, around the, you know, seeing some wholesome or beautiful qualities that kind of get pulled along as we pay attention. As we engage in paying attention to these patterns, you might begin to notice some beautiful qualities that are coming along. Particularly if you are interested in exploring a pattern. If there's interest there, then you might notice a little bit of energy, a little more energy in terms of engaging with the exploration. And energy is one of the wholesome qualities that supports our practice. As you start to see that you can actually recognize things and bring your attention to them, there's a confidence that can develop. I can do this. That this is possible. And that's another helpful quality. There's five skillful qualities that are helpful in terms of cultivating our ability to develop the skill of mindfulness. And these five qualities are called the five faculties. And they include confidence, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. And as you engage in this practice, you may just start noticing little bits of this. So I'll just go through, for instance, I'll just describe them first, what their definitions are. So confidence is basically confidence in the teachings, confidence in our ability to engage. That's probably the main way it manifests, is confidence in our ability to actually engage in the practice. It can also manifest in as a feeling of trust in just what's happening, that there's a sense of trust. That's another term that sometimes that confidence is translated as trust. Energy is generally energy as applied to meeting our experience. So it's not the same thing as effort, but it is a result of making effort. So for instance, engaging in that practice of now I am aware of, now I am aware of, is a form of making effort. And as you do that, you may find that there's a kind of a momentum that builds, that there's some energy that comes from engaging in that practice. Then there's mindfulness, and that's one of the main qualities we are cultivating here, and it is, one of my teachers called it the most wholesome or the most beautiful mind state. And it is the ability to recognize what's happening while it's happening. Knowing what's happening while it's happening. Concentration in daily life practice is more about stability of mind and the ability to kind of hang out with something in a little bit more continuous way. So the chore that we've been doing, that little bit longer exercise, is beginning to cultivate the mind's ability to stay with our experience for longer periods of time. And that's concentration. Wisdom is seeing essentially our experiences, whether it's skillful or unskillful. Is it skillful in terms of supporting our movement away from suffering? If it's unskillful, it tends to re-engage us in suffering and in habits over and over again. So you might, as you begin to pay attention to this pattern, feel a little more confidence in your ability to wake up for it, and some more energy about engaging with it. You might have a little bit more alertness around paying attention to it, which would be energy. You might be more mindful of subtle aspects of your experience, as was described earlier. As you get more aware, you begin to see there's more things happening than you could even imagine. That's mindfulness strengthening. You might be able to pay attention for longer periods of time, which is concentration. And you might begin to notice, another piece is you might begin to notice that you're about ready to engage in something and have a choice about whether to do it. Like when I talked about the pausing in speech and beginning to recognize what's going to come out of your mouth, that you have a choice of whether or not to say that thing. And that ability to choose and choose skillfully is that quality of wisdom. So not to make a big deal out of exploring these things, but just to check in your exploration of what's happening. Sometimes these qualities go unnoticed because we're more focusing on what we're paying attention to. We're more focused on the anger or the frustration or the impatience. And we're not noticing that, oh, I can do this. This feeling of engagement, a feeling of, I can do this, and that there's energy for it. So the bringing some awareness to some of these qualities that get pulled along with our attentiveness. And it's not so much to look for them, but more, essentially, you know, sometimes when I give instructions, it's not so much that I'm saying, look for this thing, but it's more a description of something you might notice that might have not been noticed if I had not mentioned it. So it's not particularly to make a big deal out of this part of the project, but simply to, you might notice some of these things. Other things you might notice particularly are a more relaxation, more calm, more feeling of spaciousness, a sense of ease. These are some more beautiful qualities that get pulled along as we pay attention with mindfulness. So we can feel spaciousness and ease in the midst of exploring anger. And it's kind of an interesting place to be there. You know, if we're able to, you know, exploring the anger, there's the anger, and then a sense of ease around the anger. If we're able to kind of take in that ease while the anger is there, it's almost like we are landing in the ease a little bit more than we're landing in the anger. And that actually softens. We can soften around some of these difficult states as we begin to notice a feeling of confidence, a feeling of ease, a feeling of relaxation that happens. So again, not to make a big deal around it, but just more descriptive of something you might notice as you pay attention to your pattern. But don't try to find it, I guess is what I would say. Don't try to find these things. So I actually wrote some notes up for this week because there was a lot that I had to say tonight. So I have a handout which you can take with you that covers most of what I said and maybe even some things I didn't say. So we could, just hand them around. And thank you for your attention.